But God lives in us. But also we know that God is doing a living work in us. That there is a reason why God lives in us. Because He's doing a work in us. When we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior and said, Lord, You are the Savior of the world, that Jesus came and lives in us and now is doing a work in us. Now we can often say, man, God has a lot to do and the work never stops. And that's right. The Holy Spirit's work in us never stops. And He's trying to make us what? Like His Son, like Jesus. There's a song that I was thinking about the other day, and I know you're going to know this song. I'm going to read the words to it. It says this. I'm not going to name it till after, but it says this. Well, it says, these are the lyrics to it. It says, He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, 'cause He's still working on me. And then it says it again, He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, 'cause He's still working on me. Then it says this, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. We should all have a sign. Huh? We all have a sign. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Then it goes back into the chorus. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be or need to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, 'cause He's still working on me. In the mirror of His word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why He never gave up on me. But He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, He's the potter and I'm the clay. God never gives up on us because He's doing a work in us. He's the potter and we are the clay. And He never gives up on us. And I want to read this other part, the part that I read earlier. But it says, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Can you imagine? The Master's loving hand is working in us. Don't judge me. That now doesn't mean that we are to stay where we are. We should be ever changing by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. As we read His word, that He is doing a mighty work in us. You see, the Bible keeps us on that narrow path of what's right and wrong. And that's why old Slewfoot and even humanity will try to slough off the word of God. Because it brings light to certain areas of our lives that may not be correct. And we know we are in the Master's hand. And this is a word that has been pinned down. I heard somebody say this a while back. It says, except maybe one, but they still think so. And I'll say everyone because I think so. Everyone that pinned this word down comes from the Israelites or the Jewish people. Everyone. Everyone. God used them to pin down the Word of God for His people today. They're hated around the world by so many people. God used the Jewish people. Makes me want to cry. Because they at war today. You know, with Hamas and all that stuff going on. I mean, war is breaking out bad. And the Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But also the Jewish people were used to bring the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. There was one part that they didn't do and they failed. Was that God had chosen the Jewish people to preach the Word of God to the world. And they failed. They didn't do it. That's why He came to the Gentiles. But we should forever thank, not that they're higher than anyone else. No. But God chose these people. We need to pray for them. Let's pray for them right now. Let's lift our hands and pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we come before You. And Lord God, You see what's going on with the Jewish people, the Israelites, Israel, Lord God. Father, I pray that You'd give their leaders wisdom, Lord God. Father, Lord, You said for us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we pray for Your peace to be upon Jerusalem and Your peace to be upon Israel this day, Lord. That, Father, that You will protect them from the evils of the outside world, Lord God. The borders, Lord God. Lord, protect them and be with them. Lord, I pray that Your angels would be shoulder to shoulder on the borders, Lord God, of their country. And You would protect them. But, Father, that You will draw them by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. But here we see God is doing a mighty work. You know, in John chapter 3, we all know John chapter 3, where it talks about Nicodemus. The Nicodemus was a very religious man, high up in the religious order. And in John chapter 3, it says that he went to Jesus by night and he said, "How can I get to heaven? How?" And he says that Jesus turned to him and said, "You know, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot," what? "See the kingdom of God." That was interesting. See the kingdom of God. So we know God had a plan for salvation for Nicodemus and all the people. And we know this, because of salvation, we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. The moment we accepted Him, He came and lives inside of us. And the work started. A major work started. Before that, the Spirit of God was working on the outside of us, drawing us to salvation. That's interesting. Before we accepted Christ, God was working by the Spirit of the living God, working on the outside of us, drawing us to salvation. And when we gave our hearts to Him, the Spirit that was working on the outside, drawing us, came and lives inside of us. And the construction work started to happen on the inside of us. You might say, "Well, Pastor, I've been saved quite a few years and I'm still having problems in this area or that area." God has to still do a mighty work. He's continuing to work. This is the deal. Submit yourself to God. You might say, "Well, God lives in me." Yes, He does. If you've been born again, He lives inside of you. But also, it takes us to trust in Him that what He wants to do, He can do it. You might say, "Well, God can do what He wants." Well, God will never override the will of a man. Or mankind, man or woman, mankind. He will never override it. So we have to be on a continuous basis, laying our lives before Him as we stay on the right path. As we lay our lives before Him, the Spirit of God will continue to work inside of us, doing a living work, not a dead work, a living work, because Jesus is alive on the inside of us, living in us and working in us. And we need to daily, what, deny ourselves of what we can do and lay our lives before Him at the cross in what Jesus did, and the Spirit of God comes in and works inside of us and changes those areas that we need to, that needs to be changed. Because He's trying to get us to a place where we are like the Son of God. Not a God. No, 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 no. But that we are sons of the and daughters of the living God working in us. And we honestly, we know that God has a lot of work to do in every one of us, huh? Let's all raise our hands because it's all true, huh? We have a lot of work to do. But that's okay. Look, and I look at it this, you know, I was working on this stuff and I said, Lord, Father, I just want to thank You. When I look back 4 years ago and see where I was, Lord, to where we are today, Jelaine and I, it's, oh my God, thank You for the work that's being done in us, in us, in us. It's almost like being reborn again. It's like, you know, we're saved, we're being saved, and we're going to be forever saved, you know. God continues to work. And we all know that there are a lot of things in our hearts that God has to work on. And sometimes when we think we've mastered something, we think, so it's like, ooh, God will allow so that we can see, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. See, the one thing, you know, King Saul, remember King Saul, the evil King Saul? He once had a heart for God when he kind of started at first. What got him in trouble was that he didn't trust God and he disobeyed Him. King Saul thought he knew more than God. Oh, he was head and shoulders above all the rest because that's what the people wanted. But his heart was far from God. And even when the prophet Samuel went and anointed King David king, secretly anointed him and prayed over him, when David wasn't even offered to come with his father or his other brothers, remember that? And he prayed over him and he anointed him king. He didn't take the throne until numerous years later. But to God, from that day forward, Saul was not king anymore. David was. That's why the prophet never went back to Saul ever again from that day forward. Because he wasn't king according to God. See, we need to make sure that we constantly are trusting our God. Trusting Him. Because you see, He's doing a mighty work in us. That's why, you know, I said, Lord, help me to be patient with people. Because I know God has a lot of work to do in me continuously. But I also know that God has a lot of work to do in His people. And if God can be patient, why shouldn't the shepherd be patient? And so just being patient and saying, Lord, praying and asking God to move. But God, or the prophet Samuel, anointed King David king. And God started working and had worked in his heart for a long time. But we have to trust that God knows best. And I know as human beings, sometimes we think we know what's best. Now, God will give us wisdom. And it says that as we read His Word, the wisdom of God comes into our hearts and into our lives. It says in the book of James that if we lack wisdom in any area, all we got to do is ask God. But asking God, as we read the Word of God, the wisdom of God comes into our lives. We know what's right, even though the world says it's wrong. Or the world says it's right, and we know the Word of God says it's wrong. So you see, we have to be patient with one another. We have to be patient even with ourselves. That's a hard thing. Because we want to change ourselves. If we change ourselves and do it on our own, it won't last. It won't. 6 months later, you'll be the same as you were the other day before that. Because man cannot change himself. Only the Spirit of God can change the heart of a man, because that's where the Spirit of God lives, and He's the only one that can change from the inside out. And so we got to trust in Him that He will do what is best for us. So we have to trust Him and be obedient to His Word. Be obedient to His Word. Doing a living work in us. And look, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Sometimes we're ready to crucify ourselves, man. Just something happens, you mess up. Get on your knees before God or whatever. I love to get on my knees. It's not just, I feel I'm submitting. That's just me, though. You can lay in your bed. You can whatever. It doesn't matter. You can be in your car. Just ask God to forgive you. Say, Father, forgive me. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You know, we can look in Exodus. And we can look at Moses' life. Moses grew up, and we know that. Moses grew up with the best of everything. I mean, we saw the great deliverance of how, you know, when he was of age, basically, you know, that she had to get his real mother had to get rid of him because they were going to kill all the babies. And all that stuff. And Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in Saul and brought him into her home. She took that child and gave him the best of everything. The best education. The best clothes. The best of all that money could buy. And even being in command to take over as Pharaoh of Egypt one day. Grooming him. But God got a hold of him. And he saw an Egyptian beating on one of the Israelites or Jews, if you want to say it that way. And he went up there and killed the Egyptian and tried to bury him in the sand. Somebody saw, the body came up, and he fled. See, God was doing a mighty work. Even when we think God is not working, God's working. Even when we think, Lord, you've given up on me, He hasn't. Because we think that way. How do you think Moses, being in with the Egyptians there, being raised of approximately about 40 years of age, with the best of everything, finally God started to work in his heart. And he does something foolishly. God had chosen him to be the deliverer, but not that way. See, God is doing a work inside of each and every one of us to get the job that he wants done here upon the earth. We have to let God work and move when God says move and do the things that God says to do. Moses probably thought, well, I'm doing what's right. Look, he was beating on one of my fellow men. Kinsman, and I killed the Egyptian. But that wasn't right according to God. He was not to deliver that way of mankind, of humankind. See, when God calls us to do something, and look, every calling is great, no matter what it is. You know, we often think, well, you know, if you're not one of the in one of the fivefold ministries, you're nothing. That is absolutely brought on from the pit of hell. I'm telling you, every position in God is very, very important. What God calls you to do, from a housewife to a wife to a husband to a father to the job you have, everything is important to God. And you are important to Him. And what He calls you to do, what He has for you to do as He's working in your heart, because He's doing a living work in you, bringing life to those areas that are dead, bringing life to those areas that need life, that He's working in us to get the job done upon this earth, molding us and making us as He is the potter and we are the clay. As He sees things in us, He takes those things out to better us. You might say, well, are we ever going to be perfect? No. No. It's a work to the day we die or Jesus comes, whatever one. It's a work. We need to be patient with one another, patient with ourselves. Now, we have to be willing to change in those areas that God is working in us. Can you imagine as you and I are reading the Word of God and God starts to speak things through the Word of God to us and we look at it and we go, oh my God, Lord, I never saw this before. Thank You for illuminating Your Word unto me. That He's doing a living work in you because you see something you've never seen before and it becomes alive to you. And as it becomes alive to you, it brings life to your spirit man. That's what, you see, I know I've said this, we're made of spirit, soul, and body. Why does He always say spirit first? When we're in that coffin, that body's there, that's it. But it's that spirit man that goes on forever. And God is interested in that spirit man to keep it alive, to keep it growing in Him, that the anointing and the presence of God. Just as the anointing filled this place this morning. See, it's under the Spirit of God where the yokes of bondage are broken. That's why it's good to get under the presence of God. But doing a mighty work. And here Moses, we know he left with a little bit of water, a little bit of food and a staff. And was walking. And ended up in Midian, whatever, desert place. Stay there another 40 years or so. And I'm sure he thought his dreams were all gone. That what God had spoken to him was dead. But all this time he didn't realize that he was alive. Many of things God has spoken to you about personally that I don't even know. Many of the things God has spoken to me about, and we thought they're dead. But God is saying they're alive. And one day, like every other day, you get up, you pray, you do your stuff, you go to work, whatever, and all of a sudden, there's going to be a burning bush that catches your eye. Oh, and you're going to... You might say, well, that's what it was for Moses, a burning bush. But it could be something else for us, something. It's going to catch our eyes. It's going to catch our hearts. And we're going to go see what it is. And God is going to speak things and bring life to those areas that need to be alive again. Need to be alive again. We need to allow the Spirit of God to move within us. To move within us. There are many things that God is stirring the pot of our hearts. I'll use myself because I don't like to use anybody else. Myself. Stirring the heart of your pastor. And he sees things. the Father is stirring in the heart of your pastor. And he sees things that need to be taken out. I don't want to pop your bubble, but I'm not perfect. I know you know that. We're not perfect. Oh, no, oh, she's did some. Let me pray with you, no. Keep believing, no. No. No one's perfect. And God is continually pouring His Spirit into our hearts and lives and working in us. And seeing the areas that need to change. And is doing a mighty work in us to change those areas of our lives. We just need to allow the Spirit of God to move. The Holy Spirit to move. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2:13. And I didn't read a lot of scriptures because I know of time's sake. You know, I know it went a little longer, song service. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Wow. You need to write that scripture down. You need to write it down. And saying, "Lord, thank you. For it is" who? God. It didn't say, "For it is Pastor Joe." No. "For it is your husband or your wife. For it is your children. For it is your mother or your father." No. It's God that lives. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you." My God. It is God on the inside that is working in us. What is He trying to do? "Both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Not for our sake, but to do of His good pleasure in us. We are His children. He's working in you and I. There are many things that God has to do. We just need to be willing vessels because He's doing a living work in us. Willingly laying our lives before Him and saying, "Lord, work in me. Change my heart. Change my life. Change the way I think. Change the way I speak, Lord God. Change me on the inside." And look, when God changes the heart of a man or a woman, it reflects on the outside because the power and the anointing and the presence of God is in us. It is the will of God. It is Him which worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It is God that changes us into the same image, the image of His Son, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changing us, people. Sometimes I think we get off the potter's wheel. When things get a little hot, I want to get off. And I'll be honest, sometimes I got off and said, "Lord, I can't take it. It's rough. It's rough." And any pastor that says they stay on there, they're lying to you. They lie. Let me tell you, pastors lie. I've caught many of them in lies. I never said anything, but they lie a lot. They do preach the truth some. You know, there's some great pastors, but some of them lie, man. What does the Bible say about liars? They shall have their place where? In the lake of fire. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, you see somebody with an outfit on and you just tell them that's the ugliest thing you ever saw before. Why did you buy that? How much you spent on that? No. You be gracious and kind. No, you don't do that. Because the Bible says to encourage one another in the Lord. Encourage one another in the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit has power to make changes God wants to make in our lives. It's only the Holy Spirit, people. The Holy Spirit is the only one that has the power to make changes in us. And oftentimes you see people, and I'm going to close in a few minutes, probably about 30 more minutes. Everybody's okay with that? Yeah, okay. Not a problem, okay. Oh, look, he left. You see, look, no. No. He's okay. But you know, we need to allow the Spirit of God to move, because it's the Holy Spirit that works in us and through us. We need to lay down our lives before Him and allow Him to move. Let's see. Christ-likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. That's very good. Christ-likeness in us is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. We allow Christ to live through us. Colossians 1:27. We need to let God move within us. And you know, and sometimes, honestly, we could be stubborn and rebellious and not allowing God to move like He wants. Remember, the God that made everything in the earth chose to live in us, chose to abide in us, and bringing us closer to Him. So let's just lay our lives before Him and allow the Spirit of God to move. Allow Him to do a living work in us, because He's alive in us. Letting Him change those areas, people, that need to be changed. We all have a lot of work that God wants to do. I know that. I know it. But as we submit to the Lord, He will work mightily in us. And we will see changes that we never saw, that we never thought were possible. But it only comes by Him inhabiting, living, moving, and working in us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Amen.